Hello and welcome to the Bob Edwards Show for Tuesday, January 3rd. Guy Clark is such a fabulous songwriter that his fellow musicians have recorded a tribute album titled This One's For Him. And there were so many great songs and willing performers that it took two CDs to do the job. We'll hear about that recording later in the hour. But first, we'll get to know Guy Clark's touring partner and sometimes co-writer. Verlon Thompson's lyrics are more like fine literature squeezed into three-minute short stories set to music. And it doesn't matter whether he's getting his heart broken in the song Dinner Bell or finding his true love in another one called Mike and Betty's Daughter. A superb guitarist, Verlon Thompson will play us a few numbers from his latest CD titled Works. Normally, I would spend some time here telling you about my guest, a little background information, or a paragraph about past projects. But why bother when Verlon Thompson has written and recorded The Show We Call the Business?
Well, I came to Nashville 30 years ago from Oklahoma. I walked away from rock and roll to get a honky-tonk diploma. Well, I was hungry, young and hungry, and I was looking for an offer. Miss Loretta Lynn, she took me in, that sweet coal miner's daughter. Well, she never did do one of my songs, but one day she did say, darling. She said you should hang around with guys like Holyfield and Harlan. She said they'll go to lunch and they'll smoke cigars and they'll drink a glass of brandy. She said they write big hits and they leave big tips and spend their evenings with their families. Oh, but I'm glad she didn't tell me just how far I had to go. In this show we call the business, in this business we call show.
Thompson says that song is just as autobiographical as it sounds.
Every word of it.
So that means there really is a venue called the Hickory Holler Mall.
So I played the Hickory Holler Mall.
Well, there was. It's closed now. It was a tough $50 every Sunday night that I was earning.
And the Johnny Cash impersonation?
Absolutely.
Yeah, and then one night he walked out of the back. It was him and Miss June Carter. And he said, son, I have heard better. Yeah, but not one who tried harder.
Yeah, I was actually doing my little Johnny Cash impersonation, and he did walk out of the back with June, and he walked straight to me, stood right in front of me in the microphone and said, son, I've heard better, but I ain't heard nobody that tries any harder than you do. And after my little performance was over, I wrote those words down and put them in my wallet, and I carried them around for years until I could figure out a way to wedge them into a song. And that little biographical song was the way to do it. So,
is this still a business to you, or has it always been? Do you ever...
You know, that's the problem with me, Bob. I don't think it's ever been a business for me. It's, I know it's a business, and I went to Nashville to be a part of the music business. But truly, in my heart, it's always just been a way of... It's just who I am. I've done it since I was a little kid, and it's just the way I get through my days. I play songs and write songs, and it gets me, takes me down the road. It takes me around the world. It takes me to the next level, and it's provided an income. And I think if I were better at the business end of it, I may be more successful. But I try to weigh the success and happiness and compare them, and I try to lean more towards the staying happy end of it. So,
does Dinner Bell come out of personal experience?
The inspiration for it does. I tell a little story in my show to set that song up. because the song is actually, it's about someone who wants something that they know they can't have. And yeah, the story that I tell in my show is about when I was hired during the fall harvest break back in Oklahoma when I was a kid. I would hire out to the other farmers around the area, and I was hired to plow one fall season, and the farmers, and this sounds like one of those farmer daughters jokes, but the farmer actually had a daughter, and every day at noon she would walk out across the freshly plowed ground in her bare feet, and she would bring me a little sack lunch and maybe a jug of iced tea. And of course, I would spend from dawn until noon daydreaming about how I was going to be clever and debonair and impress this girl, and it never happened. Every time she would get close, I would grab the lunch and, you know, gulp it down and take off again, and so nothing really happened, but it was that I went back to that place where I would sit on that tractor for hours and dream about what would happen if I could have this girl. And the dinner bell story itself is not actually true. I made up the story, but it came from my story of plowing.
Oh, we got to hear that now.
Yeah, I'd love to do that. That'd be a good one. You know, there's nothing sweeter than drawing a dipper of good, clean, cold water from a hand-dug well. And there's nothing harder than raking alfalfa and waiting around for the sound of that noon dinner bell. That's when I'd take off my old straw hat and go up to the big house where we'd all gather round under the old elm tree to soak up some shade and eat some good country cooking. And if I was real lucky, well, she might even take a look at me. She was strawberry hair and blue ocean eyes. She was lilac, she was clover, and I bet good money she was sweet as honey 10 times over. Oh, but it's back to the fields to work like the dickens till they'd come pick us up of a late afternoon. And if I could get me a good enough seat up on that wagon, well, I might even catch the smell of her roses perfume. She was strawberry hair and blue ocean eyes. She was lilac, she was clover, and I bet good money she was sweet as honey 10 times over. At least that's what I wrote on this folded up note that I kept in the bib of my overalls. A bunch of pretty words I was saving for when I got brave and went up to that big house to pay her a call, which I did one evening with some fresh cut flowers. I had my hair slicked back and my shoes all shined, and I never imagined, I never even considered that she might be in any arms other than mine. I was stabbed in the heart and kicked in the gut. At least I might as well have been, because you see the windows were open and the curtains were blowing, and I'm sorry that I ever looked in. I jumped off the porch and ran back down the hill to where that little footbridge goes over the stream. I watched that folded up note and those fresh flowers float away with the rest of my dreams. And I never said nothing to the boys back at the bunkhouse, 'cause hell, they don't know the first thing about love. And to this day, not a word's passed between me and her, and I still don't know who he was. Still got hay down my collar, sweat in my eyes, and I guess I hurt for a while pretty bad. I let it set me back in spite of the fact that I know you can't lose what you never had. Yeah, and still there ain't nothing sweeter than drawing that dipper of good clean cold water from an old hand-dug well. But these days I don't get near as excited about hearing the sound of that noon dinner bell.
Verlin, gracious. First heartbreak's the worst, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. You know, I just played a little show there in Oklahoma the night before last, and some of the folks that know me and know that girl were there, so it was kind of, I had some flashbacks, and it was pretty cool, though, pretty nice experience.
What's she doing now?
Oh, she's gone on to, you know, she married children, and she was never really meant for me or anything like that. It was just that, you know, I was 13 years old, and here's this...
Strawberry hair and blue ocean eyes.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
What are you going to do?
Barefoot, plowed ground. What, you know, that's any boy's dream.
You did grow up on a farm.
Yeah, I did, yeah. Back then when I was a kid, we raised peanuts. And my dad eventually turned it over into a cattle operation. But at that point, we had, maybe 40 acres of peanuts. And, a little bit of cotton, you know, here and there.
And where was this?
In Caddo County, Oklahoma.
Which is the title of one of the songs.
Yeah, yeah.
My dad said, son, I'm going to tell you right now, said you don't have to follow the same old plow. So there's a big old world out across the county line, and you can come home anytime you change your mind.
Yeah. He actually said that to me. Again, when I was about that same age, I just told this story the other night. We were actually hoeing. This was back before chemicals could stop the weeds and stuff, and we'd actually go out and chop the weeds out of the rows. And I remember standing at the end of a row one day, and I'd been complaining because it was hot and, you know, just complaining. And my dad said, you know what, son, one of these days, when you get big enough, you can leave. You can go do whatever you want. You don't have to stay here on this farm and help me. Because I think a lot of fathers expected their sons to just stay there and carry on the operation. But that day, he sort of gave me the green light and said, you do whatever you want. Just know you can always come home. So
he supported your
he did, yeah.
love of music?
He supported it completely, and he's not a musician, so I don't think it was that easy for him to understand the calling that I felt. Now, my mom, on the other hand, she could have been Loretta Lynn. I mean, seriously, had she not chosen to stay home and raise me and my brother, she was that good, and she knew what I was going to do. She could feel the same feeling that I did, but... For my dad, that was a big unselfish thing to do.
I'll say.
Because I know he could not feel, but he knew I loved it. Yeah.
Verlin Thompson's latest solo CD is called Works, and he'll be back with more stories and performances after the break.
O-K-L-A-H-O-M-A, Oklahoma again.